Sorry about that. Which is good because I don't remember what I deleted, but I knew it's like, nope, we need to stop there. Quit being yourself. Thank you. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope I can rightly recall a dream I had many years ago. I don't know exactly when. It was before 1994, I can tell you that, because I wasn't a member of the ministry yet when I had this dream. I don't think about it too often until other ministers call me and keep asking me questions about it. But I love him dearly. No, actually, I'm glad he did, because there was always something, part of that dream that I never could put my finger on what it was. Let me get my emotions in check here. I had a dream one night. And I had the understanding that there were two men that had tipped over a canoe in a river. And a couple other elders were there, Jerry Case and Jim Case. And as this one fellow was floating down the stream, struggling, the thought came in my mind that I need to go downstream just in case they missed him. I'm dragging him out of the water. They didn't. The next thing I remember is Jerry Case is trying to revive this guy, and it's not working. And I remember somebody standing in the water on the other side of the river, and that's the one I knew never could put my finger on. I was, why is there somebody standing over there just watching? Anyway, after a little while, the guy was still in the water. At that time, none of us were in the water, Jerry, Jim, or myself. But a whirlpool was going down inside of this guy's mouth, and he drowned. Well, personally, to me, that was telling me that I was probably going to be called to be a priest. I didn't know it at that time, because my understanding of the scriptures is a priest is to help the elders. Well, if they missed him, I was going to help them out. There's also a lot of other things in that dream that I think about from time to time. Like, and Sean helped me out in understanding some of this stuff, like the river. And the fellow that was just standing on the other side of the river in the water just watching. Well, that was Satan. He was just watching. Didn't have an expression. Wasn't particularly doing anything, but standing there observing. That's all I remember about it. Don't remember who the guy was that drowned. Don't know why Jim and Jerry were in there other than I knew they were elders. And it's been a long time. But I still remember it. I can still envision it in my head right now as I'm standing here talking about it. I'm very thankful that that's why I don't like that cord there. I move my feet a lot. I'm very thankful that Sean asked me about it. And then he called again and asked me more. And some of it I wasn't real clear on, and I don't know if it was important. But I believe I got the important stuff right. Let's turn to page 20 in the Book of Mormon. First Nephi, the second chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole part of Nephi's and Lehi's vision. Page 20 in the Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi, 2 Nephi 2. I'm going to start at verse 48. And it came to pass that I had prayed unto the Lord. I beheld a large and spacious field. This is Lehi's vision. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I had ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruits. And as I cast my eyes around about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, as it were, near the tree which I was partaking of the fruit. Now jump over to verse 62. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led, and it also led by the head of the fountain into the large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numerous concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they had commenced in the path, did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And then the people in the spacious room mocked at him and pointed their fingers at him. And even though people knew that they needed to hang on to the rod of iron, stay on the path, they got lost. Verse 77. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward. And they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron, until it came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way toward that great and spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. There were many that were drowned in the fountain because they got caught up in the world. They got sidetracked, you might say. They didn't know how to spiritually swim. Okay, now I'm going to go to page 28 of the Book of Mormon. Skip over to Nephi's vision and some interpretations of his father's vision. Page 28, First Nephi, the third chapter. Start at verse 63. Nephi had seen in his previous part of the vision of Christ, his birth, that he'd come to earth, what he would teach. But in verse 63, it says, "Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw?" That'd be the angel that's asking him. And I answered him, saying, "Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things." And he spake unto me, saying, "Yea, and the most joyous to the soul." That's what that fruit was. It was the love of God. And we should want that. We should want to taste of that fruit. We should want to taste of the love of God that he has for us. Because he just didn't send his son down here. He gave him. And I don't know how to get that across. What it means to me. He just said, he gave him. Gave us his son. Knowing what he'd have to go through. But he gave him because he loved us. That's the love he's talking about here. That he loves us so much. That he gave us a way back to be with him. Verse 68. "And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God." The rod of iron is the scripture, the word of God. The stuff that we're supposed to hang on to. And Gary got my email this morning. Not really. But I came into Sunday school and I heard him talking about the rod of iron and some of the other stuff that he said. And it's like, they just step all over my sermon. Why don't you? But that's all right, because we need to know it. And I was grateful, because in my own fleshliness, I need those type of experiences to let me know that I'm listening to the right voice, I hope. And when I get those, it's like, good. Because I have a tendency sometimes not to go along with fables. But I have things that come into my mind, I have to match them up with the scriptures that I know to make sure where they're coming from. Because two things are going to influence us. One's good and one's real bad. Page 45. First book of Nephi, chapter 4. Yeah, start at verse 35. "And it came to pass that they did speak unto me again." Nephi is teaching his brothers here. They were asking him questions, just to set up a background why he's saying what he says here. "And it came to pass that they did speak unto me again, saying, What meaneth the thing which our father saw in a dream? What meaneth the tree which he saw? And I said unto them, It was a representation of the tree of life. And they said unto me, What meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Nevertheless, the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them into blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the facility which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. And they saith unto me, what meaneth the river of water which our father saw? And I said unto them, that water which my father saw was filthiness. And so much was his mind swallowed up in other things that he beheld not the filthiness of the water. And I said unto them that it was an awful gulf which separateth the wicked from the tree of life and also from the saints of God. And I said unto them that it was a representation of that awful hell which the angel said unto me was prepared for the wicked. And I said unto them that our father also saw that the justice of God did also divide the wicked from the righteous, and the brightness thereof was like unto the brightness of a flaming fire, which ascendeth up unto God forever and ever and hath no end. And I didn't quite understand why the guy died, drowned with a whirlpool going down inside his mouth. Until one day, years later, I was sitting in this congregation and Jerry Case was giving a sermon. He was talking about this same thing. And as soon as he read this part here, every hair on my body just stood up and it's like, okay, that's it. That's it. Because I was focused on other things, I guess like Lehi was. But yeah, I remember that day. So I knew what it was. I knew that that water was the things of the world, the filthiness, and that's what the guy drowned in. You can't partake of the tree of life, which is the love of God, and dangle your feet in the filthy water. And I'm talking to myself because our tendencies in the flesh are to do that which is contrary to what God wants us to do. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit, like it says. Paul talks about it. That there's this is on my own words, because when he says it, when I read it, I get called twisted up. But there's a fight that goes on in us between our spirit and our flesh. And it's real. If you've ever felt that realness, I don't know. If you haven't felt it, I don't know how to really explain it to you. Other than your flesh wants something so bad that it almost brings you to tears because you want it so bad. But the Spirit says, that's not right, and you know it's not right. But yet the flesh part of you says, I want it. But you have to stay away from it. You have to fight it. And if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, I don't know how you would win. I can remember times when I wanted something I shouldn't have so bad. And I knew that if I kept going down that road, it would kill me. And the Spirit over here saying, don't do it. And the devil over here in the flesh is saying, it'll be all right, go for it, because the fight will be over. And the Spirit says, yeah, but if the fight's over, you lose. If you take that route. I don't know if that explained it or not, but it's real. And we're here together to help each other out. We're here together to help each other learn how to stay out of the filthy water. Page 762 in the Book of Mormon. Moroni, the sixth chapter, starts out talking about baptism here, and the things that it involves that you need to take upon you, the name of Christ. And then your name's written in the book of life. And in verse 6, and the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to skip over to verse 9. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the holy workings, after the manner of the workings of the Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whither to preach or exhort, or to pray, or to supplicate, or to sing, even so it was done. I believe we follow after that. But we meet together oft to speak with one another concerning the welfare of our souls. Because we need each other. We need help. We need encouragement. Because if you don't have it, you're going to fade away. I guarantee it. And I don't think any of us are strong enough to be out in the desert by ourselves or in the wilderness, whatever you want to call it, for a long period of time, and to particularly keep our focus on Jesus Christ. I can't. My mind will tend to wander. I can tell you that in a second. That's my problem in school, is my mind wandered all the time. Daydreaming. It still does. But I can focus it in when I need to. Because without each other to guide and direct us, to lift us up, to kind of guide us along the path, help us to have the strength to hang on to the rod of iron, because like Gary was talking about this morning, the devil's there, and I'll start by just maybe taking one finger off the rod, you know, and then you get weaker and another one comes off. Thank you, Gary. And sooner or later, your grip's gone. It's hard to hang on to the Word of God, the rod of iron. If we don't stay in it daily and read it and ask for understanding of what it tells us, if we're not taking that part in, if the devil, he's whispering in your ear, it'll be okay, you don't need to learn it. But it's not okay, because we do need to learn it. We need to know what the Scriptures say. To help each other. To know what's expected of us if we want to partake of the fruit, the love of God. Seventh chapter of Matthew, I got a couple verses. Or I don't. The Word does. Matthew 7, and I'll read verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus in his own words. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The path's narrow, we need to stay on. But we also have a rod of iron to hang on to keep us going. Because the way to destruction, there's so many things, that path is so wide that we might not be able to see the narrow one. That's Jesus' own words. Let's go to Alma, the 17th chapter. Sorry, I started fading there. Page 441. This is Alma, and he is talking to his son Helaman, expressing many things to him. Let's start in verse 66. He's telling his son, this is things you need to preach and things you need to teach. And he says, preaching them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them how to renew their mind, like it says in Romans 12. You know, repentance is a changed mind to a better way. And faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks about faith and hope, you know, how are you going to have hope if you don't have faith first? Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you don't have that faith first, why would you even have a hope of ever being in heaven? Why would you have hope of ever pertaining that fruit which is most precious above all fruits? Faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've said to people before, man, the devil's good at what he does, and he is good at it. And we got to be leery. We need to help each other to withstand the temptations of the devil. If somebody's having a problem, they need to talk to somebody in the church. Ministry. Somebody that might understand what they're talking about. Doesn't have to be ministry for that. Just to talk to somebody that's going to guide them with the faith in Christ. Not guide them in the ways of the world. Not to lead them out into filthy water. We don't want them drowned. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. And remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. You know, ask God for everything to guide and direct you in your daily life. Boy, I need it. You know, whatever it is, help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Help me to do what's right. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, whithersoever thou goest. Let it be in the Lord, yea. Let the thoughts be directed unto the Lord, yea. Let the afflictions of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel of the Lord in all thy doings, and he'll direct thee for good. Counsel. Ask the Lord for direction. It's not that we're telling the Lord what to do, but ask the Lord for direction. Ask him for counsel. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. I think it's wise words. There are many other scriptures that came to my mind as I was studying that I didn't have time to put them in their place. That's probably good because they probably didn't need to be said and read. There are so many things that are in there that we're supposed to be kindly affectionate one towards another, and we're to prefer one another. To me, that means that we're supposed to meet together oft with those of like faith so we can be nourished, so we can help each other to be kind and considerate, and all the things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, and all the things that Paul brought forth to the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Romans and the Hebrews, the things that he taught as far as being able to partake of the fruit, the things to stay away from. Talks about things that guide us in that straight and narrow path. So if the mist of darkness comes over us, we can still hang on with all our might to the rod of iron. I don't know if I'm giving away any secrets for the future of something that young peoples might do, but yeah, I let go of the rope. That was supposed to be the rod of iron, because I believe somebody that I have a whole lot of respect for, and come to find out they were playing the part of the devil and they nailed me good. Pretty embarrassing to be a minister and have to go sit down up there because everybody knew that you failed. Sorry, it's making a lot of noise, isn't it? I'm going to end with a verse out of Proverbs 27. Anybody want to guess which one it is? Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's what we're supposed to do, is sharpen each other up. We're not meet together off to find out the latest gossip on me. Ask me. I'll tell you the truth, so it can't be gossip. It'll be truth, even if it's bad. We're not here to make such judgments on people and the mistakes they make that they feel so bad that they can't come back and be part of us. We're here to sharpen each other up. We're here to help each other out. Yeah, sometimes there's got to be a little friction. Believe me, I've had some friction come my way. But I needed it. Because somebody Because somebody loved me enough, they saw me doing something wrong. And so they talked to me about it and helped guide me in the right, get back on the right path. To get out of the filth of the river that they talked about. No, it's not easy when somebody says something and you know you did it wrong. And you know that they're right. But it's real humbling to know that they loved you enough to say it. So iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let's help each other to learn how to swim, to stay out of the, spiritually swim, to stay out of the river of filthiness, that we can obtain that goal of being able to partake of the fruit of the tree of life, which is the love of God. Thank you.